Rose and Miss D so much for all you're doing to help right now. And Acts chapter number 11 today, excited about us being in the Word this morning. But I'm also excited we got a living Lord to preach about today. Amen. And I'm glad today that we're not here because we got to be, and we're not here because we don't have answers. We got an answer. And boy, it's exciting to know that. And thank the Lord He's alive today. Our guest today, thank you so much for being here this morning and being here in our service today. And we're excited what God's doing. If you would, let's stand together, if you will. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but Acts chapter number 11 today. Acts chapter number 11, and a very interesting turn, probably the most monumental turn in the church history is right here in Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11, I want to say this. We would not be saved today, but this is where it turned. This is where it took a shift. It went away from the Jewish people to the whole world, to the nations, and to the Gentiles. And Peter here, the first one to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, is telling the story of how these people got saved. And it's incredible to look what he says, though. But as he's sharing this testimony, he gives us an insight into a subject in the Bible that we hear a little bit about today, but we need to hear much about. And I want us to look at today, verse 17. You glad you're here? Say amen. And the Bible says this, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" So Peter made this long explanation of how the Gentiles got saved and they turned of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what they did in verse 18. They said this: "When they heard these things," the Jewish believers there in the church, "they held their peace and glorified God." So they praised God. They were glad God did, saying what? "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." And this morning, I want us to preach on this idea, biblical repentance. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us today. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would lift up Jesus Christ as he is brought for us in the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the great singing this morning. Thank you for everyone that is here. But now, God, I pray that we would point people to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Those here that do not know you, may they see that their need today is the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent and believe. And believers today who are struggling in their faith, may they understand the importance of repentance in their life and responding today to the call of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And Lord, help me to be simple and to the point today that you would do in our lives what only you can, Jesus. And oh God, today may we leave this building today and know that we have been with God this morning, that he has dealt with us in our life today. And Lord, do what only you can. And Jesus, we ask in your name, and all God's people say it this morning, amen, amen. You can be seated. Many in here may not remember this, but when ESPN first began their live announcers and live shows on ESPN, a sports center and College Game Day, in those crowds, there was this man who was traveling around every weekend from state to state, spot to spot, game to game, and he could always be noticed in the crowd. Number one, because he wore one of those dyed shirts, like a rainbow, six different colors. And then he also wore a clown wig that was like one of those rainbow wigs, those big clowns. Some of you may remember this. And then the reason he dressed like that is because while he was on live camera, they would be up there, the ESPN announcers talking about the game. Behind him in the crowd, they could always spot him because he had that funny hair and those funny shirts. But why did he do it? Because you remember he wore a sign around his neck that had six letters on it. It said repent. And he dressed in such a funny way and got on live TV every Saturday, traveled around. Why? Because he wanted to draw attention to the Bible word repent. And that was his method or idea of how to get out the message of the Bible when it says to repent. Now, repentance is a subject today that we do not hear a lot about in church today, but I want to say this. It is still significant in light of the Bible this morning. You see, this morning in Acts 20:21, repentance and belief is required for salvation. I know there's people today who say, hey, you can be saved without repenting. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ came. And there is no greater preacher that ever walked this earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody knew what he was talking about, it was Jesus. And my friend, I don't care what anybody says. If Jesus said we need to repent and believe, we need to repent and believe in order to be saved. If you're following me this morning, say amen. In 1 John 1:9, repentance is required for a Christian sanctification. And I want to tell you this morning, Christian, just because you repent and believe and got saved, we still need to be a repenting people. Charles Spurgeon said the job of the Christian is repentance in his life daily. Why? Because it helps us be sanctified in our life. Jesus' first sermon, I want you to jot this down, in Mark 1:15, his first sermon was repent and believe. Now, I want to say this to people today that say you don't need to tell people to repent. You stand and you look Jesus in the eye and you tell people they don't need to repent. In Mark 1:15, Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Not only that, but the first church service in Acts 2:38, Peter, the pastor, the apostle, said to repent and believe. And repentance is a part of the early church. Paul, to the philosophers in Acts 17, he said they needed to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother Joy, today, why all this fuss about repentance? Because repentance is still a significant theme in the Bible. And do you know today, out of all Jesus' sermons, listen to this, all of Jesus Christ, not a Baptist preacher, not a Methodist preacher, not a Pentecostal bishop, but out of Jesus Christ's sermons, 20 of those sermons had the theme of repentance in his own sermons. And I want to say, if we'll preach what Jesus preach, when we meet Jesus, we'll be in good shape. Amen. And we need to preach what Jesus preached. He said, hey, repentance is a theme. It was a theme in the Old Testament. It was a theme in Jesus' ministry. It was a theme in the early church. And it is to be a theme of the message of the church today, that God has called us to repentance. But you say, Brother Joy, this morning, what's significant about Acts chapter 11? In Acts chapter number 11, Peter here is speaking to the Jewish believers, and he tells them that God saved a group of Gentiles, and the Bible says they rejoice. Watch this, because God granted them repentance. He granted them repentance, and they were excited that God gave the Gentiles an opportunity to repent and believe and be saved. And I want to say this morning, that is such an important theme. Why? Because repentance is an opportunity that God gives us into our lives. And you say, Brother Joy, this morning, but what does that mean? What does it mean to repent? What does it mean when a lost person that doesn't know Christ is to repent and believe? What does that mean? And hey, Christian, when God tells us as believers to repent, what does it mean to repent? Does it mean that all these ideas, what does the Bible teach when the Bible says that we are to repent? What does that mean? Now this morning, I want us to take the Bible and I want us to look at what repentance is, how repentance takes place, and then what it'll do in your life. Number one this morning, what is Bible repentance? Hey, by the way, I'm glad this morning I ain't got to preach out of the New York Times. I'm so glad today that I ain't got to look at USA Tomorrow, amen? I'm glad today I've got an inspired book, and if you want to know what repent means, you go to the inspired book that came from heaven itself by an almighty God, preserved by the Holy Spirit, given to us today in our lap. You want to know what repentance means, you go to the Bible, brother. I don't care what preacher so-and-so, brother so-and-so, church on this hill and that hill. What does repent mean? When it says to repent in the Bible, what does it mean? Here in verse number 18, it says God had granted them repentance unto life. Now this word repent, stay with me. If you miss these next 5 minutes, you're going to miss it. When it said repent, what does the word mean? Here's what the Bible word for repent is. It is to change your mind that results in a change of actions. It is a change of mind that results in a change of action. You see, a lot of people will tell you this. That repentance means just to feel sorry for your sin. That is not what the Bible word means. You say, but I heard a preacher say that. Well, that preacher needs to study the inspired word of God. The word repent means to change your mind that results in a change of action in your life. And the reality is when the Bible tells us to repent, it means to change one's mind. You see, what God does is he begins to speak to us and talk to us about how we are living. And he comes to us and says, hey, you're doing wrong. You're living in sin. You're going against me. You're not right with me. And at that moment, we have to choose to respond and change our mind to what he says and what we are doing in our life. And you say, but Joy, what is a picture of this in the Bible? You remember in Acts chapter number 16? Acts chapter number 16, they had arrested, in Philippi, they had arrested Paul and Silas. They brought Paul and Silas into the prison and they locked them down. But now watch this. There was a guard in the prison that day, and they took that guard. And they said, hey, your job is to watch over these prisoners. These prisoners, you ready for this, are spreading a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to get rid of them. And your job, guard, is to watch them. And the Bible says they bring them in, they lock them in, they chain them in, and they got Paul and Silas, they're sitting in prison. And what did they do? The Bible says the guard man, he fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, it's dark now, about midnight, and the Bible says Paul and Silas begin to sing. Now, I don't know what song they sang, but the Bible says they begin to sing. And in a little bit, you ready? God sent a huge earthquake. Not only was it so big around that jail that it ragged all the cells and busted all the locks loose and the doors swung open, the Bible says, but the guard who was laid back sleeping with a toothpick in his mouth, then it scared him. Maybe he fell out of his chair, but it woke him up too. And he woke up, and in the middle of the night, it was dark. It was pitch black dark. And the Bible says he looked around and realized what happened. All the doors were open, and he was going to kill himself. But then he realized that Paul and Silas and them, they didn't leave. They were still in prison. But the doors were open. They could have got away scot-free. And the Bible says when that jailer realized what he had been doing, when he realized that he had been living against God, he repented. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that man, he realized he was doing wrong. And when he changed his mind, it caused him to turn from what he was doing wrong and turn to hope in Christ. And understand today that the word repent means to change one's mind that results in a change of action. And you say, Brother Joey, I repented and believed, but you're still living in sin. I repented and got saved, but you still filled with bitterness. I repented and I'm right with God, but you're not faithful to God. My friend, when we repent, we change our mind about the way we've been living, and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Number one, what does it mean to repent? Number two, now I want you to stay with me right here. How does repentance take place? This morning, you're sitting in the Free Will Baptist Church. By the way, I don't announce that every week because we got somebody better than Free Will Baptist to promote. Amen. But you're sitting in a Free Will Baptist church. I don't want you to miss what I'm getting ready to say. A lot of people think this. When I get ready to get right with God, I'm going to go to him. But I want you to look at me this morning. That is not what the Bible teaches. We don't repent when we get ready. We repent when he calls us to repent. In Mark 2:17, Jesus said this, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to, say it, repentance. So Jesus said, hey, I came to call. The word there is mean there's a time in our life when the Holy Spirit will call us to repentance. He will call on us, hey, you're living in sin. You're going the wrong way. You need to change your mind about your way of living. And he will call out to us, and he will say, come to me. I died for you. I'm alive for you. I will change your life. But he calls us to repent. And I want you to see in the verse, look at verse 18. Look what it says right here. Verse number 18 says this. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles, watch this, granted repentance unto life. Now the word granted here is this. It is a gift that is given to us by God when He gets ready for our spiritual birthday. Not when we want it, when He wants it. And you see, what happens with repentance in our life is there's a time in our life where we're going along in life and God deals with us and He convicts us and He convinces us that we're living in sin and that we need salvation. We're living without Christ and we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And He convinces us. And when He is calling us, then and only then can we respond to Him. You say, Brother Joey, clarify. What's this? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. What does that mean? All of us are sinners this morning. We are sinful people. We have a sinful nature. And I want to tell you this morning, as a sinner does not chase God. God comes to us. And then we respond to Him calling. And a lot of people think, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to live in my sin. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live in my religion. And then when I get ready to get right with God, I'm just going to come to Him, and He's just going to forgive me. My friend, there is no forgiveness apart from the calling of repentance by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll tell you why I got saved, because I was there, and God showed up, and spoke to me, and He convicted me, and I repented of my sin, and I repented of my unbelief, and I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we come to God when God calls us, and repentance is granted unto us when He calls us. Somebody say amen. And you say, Brother Joy, how does that happen in the sinner's life? You ready? Acts 20, 21 says this, testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Repentance and faith are inseparable. You cannot divide them. They're not dividable. Whatever you think is what you believe. And we have to come to the place in our life when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You're living against God. You're living against God. You don't know more about life than God does. God's way is right. Listen to the word of God. The law is a schoolmaster to show us that we are wrong and God is right. We're not righteous. God is righteous. We're sinners. He's holy. Repentance toward God. God, I realize that. And I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. You died for my sin. And when a person realizes that they're not right with God, and they realize that they're lost in their sin, then they can turn to faith in Christ. But you cannot believe on Christ unless He calls you to believe on Him. You say, Brother Joy, we're free will Baptists. Yep, you have the free will to say no to God. But I want to tell you, He created this world. He sustains this world. This is His world. And if you think for a moment it belongs to a Baptist church, you're in trouble. He is the God of this world. He created our souls. He knows my heart and mind. And when He calls me to repentance, then and only then can I respond to Him. You say, Brother Joey, this morning, can a person say no to God too many times? Jesus said in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. What does that mean? Young teenage girl, her and her boyfriend were in love. They'd known each other for 3 days. By the way, love is putting the other before myself. That's what love is. Him and her, they got into a little spat. So she stopped texting. And he was texting her, you okay? And she, SJ laughed, amen. He thought that was funny. And what did she do? She did the woman thing. She avoided him. And he's sitting there texting, and he sent her like 100 text messages. Are you there? Are you alive? Do you still care? Did I say something wrong? Are you mad? Is your mama there? Am I in trouble? Do you hate me? Da, 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 da. Come on, we've known each other for 72 hours. So what does the boy do? He gets concerned. He goes to her house and he's standing down and he is taking rocks and he's throwing up at the girl's window because he's trying to get her attention. She comes to the window and looks down and she sees him down there and it starts sprinkling. And then it starts raining. And she's looking out the window and he's like, I'm not leaving until you let me come in. And she's looking out and for hours and hours he stood out there in the soaking rain. She goes and lays down. She gets up the next morning, looks out the window, and he's still there laying in the mud. And you say, Brother Joy, that boy needs a help. Yes, he does. But listen to me. God's not a teenage boy that's lost his mind. And he knows. He knows what you're going to do with Jesus. And he can see when you push him away. And I just want to say this. You don't know when you're going to say no to God. He's going to say, that's okay, because I got somebody over here to say yes to me. In the sinner's life is Acts 20, 21. But now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. If you're still with me, say amen. I want you to buckle up. There's a lot of believers in the building this morning. I want you to listen to this. Brother Joey, how does it take place in the saint's life? In Luke chapter number 3, verse number 8 in the Bible, they were preaching. They were preaching to people who supposedly were spiritual, religious people, and he said this. He said, you repent and you bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Now, what does that mean, Brother Joel? Here's what it means. For the believer in Christ, when you get away from God in your heart and you get out into sin, maybe you lost the battle with your flesh or maybe you lost the battle to temptation, whatever it was in your life, but you know you got away from God. When that happens, what happens? Here's what happens. Number one, because you belong to God, he comes to you and he speaks. You say, Brother Joey, I did wrong, and he never spoke to me because you're not saved. If you are saved and know Christ, whatever sin in your life today, he puts his finger on it and says, hey, that is off limits to you. You belong to me. I bought you with my own blood. He comes to us, and he speaks to us. And you say, Brother Joey, we bow our head and say, God, I'm sorry. Then what does repentance, fruit of repentance in believers' life look like? Here's what it looks like. A believer returns to what they know was right in their life. And you say, Brother Joey, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm just struggling. You ready? I'm just not all I need to be. You need to repent. Brother Joey, I'm not faithful to God like I need to be. You need to repent. You say, Brother Joey, this morning I'm right with God. Who told you that? You didn't get that from the Bible. When a believer in their life is a Christian, when they realize they're doing wrong, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? When we repent as believers, we return back to right in our life. And if you as a Christian this morning, you claim to be saved, you claim to be right with God, and you have not repented and returned to right living by him, you have not repented. You say, Brother Joey, this morning, I'm in church. You realize unrepentant people can sit through church services. Unrepentant people can preach sermons. But when we repent as believers, return back to what we know is right. And I want to tell you this morning, Christian, you may not like what I just said, and you may can go down the road or down the street or to another town and find a preacher that will tell you something different out of the Bible or find some preacher on TV, but I'm telling you, if we confess, agree with God about our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But when does he forgive us? When we confess that it's wrong, when we change our mind about our sin, and we return back to what we know is right. And I want to tell you, Christian, until we return to what we know God calls right, we have not repented. You haven't repented. There's a man in our church right now struggling. Here's the phrase you hear. I know it's wrong and I shouldn't do it. Pray for me, preacher. You need to repent. You need to be faithful to God. Because you're a believer. And that's what he's calling you to. That's what he's drawing you to. And until a Christian returns to what they know is right, they have not repented. Number three this morning, what does repentance do in our life? Well, I love this. Please look back at verse 18. We're coming down the home stretch. Look what the Bible says. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God hath granted done unto the Gentiles, granted repentance unto, say the word with me, life. So what does repentance do in our life? What is repentance? It's a change of mind that results in a change of action. How does it happen? God calls us to repentance. And as a sinner, you repent of not believing in Christ and you turn to believe in Christ. As a Christian, you return to what you know to be right in your life because you got off track. But what does it do in your life? The Bible says, He hath granted repentance unto life. Now, what does the word life here mean? It means that when we come to God, it is referring to the life of God, eternal life, everlasting life that is within us. You heard people say this. I can't wait till I get to heaven to have everlasting life. Listen, Jesus said we got eternal life now. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God, watch this. I have come. Jesus came. Why'd you come, Jesus? That you may have life and life more abundantly. My friend, the knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being right with God gives life into my marriage, life into my family, life into our church, life into my faith. And when we are right with God, when we are repenting people, we are connected to everlasting life. We can enjoy everlasting life. Are you saying, Brother Joey, that a Christian who needs to repent is going to hell when they die? I'm not saying that. The Bible doesn't teach us that. But a Christian with sin in their life, they are not enjoying life on this earth. And I'm telling you, Christian, if you're here this morning and you're not right with God, you're as miserable now as you were before you got saved. And your life stinks, not only because you know it in your conscience, but you also got the Holy Spirit tearing you up on the inside. And I'm telling you, when we come to know Christ, when we repent, repentance is the door that brings their eternal life, the experience of eternal life into us, and we have that life now. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, how do you know that you've repented? You ready for this? We got plenty of time. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. We're in Acts or Romans. We're in Acts chapter 11. Go over to Romans. Then you'll see 1 Corinthians. And then you'll see 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at me this morning before I read this. Repentance results in a person turning to Jesus. Ready for this? Not good deeds. Here's what's happened. Somehow, some way, we're sold a bill of goods. That repentance is turning from bad to good. Repentance is turning from what I know to be bad, everything I know to be bad, to the good one. And everything is wrapped up in Jesus. And here's what can happen. There is a repentance message in churches that brings death, and there's a repentant message that brings life. How do you know, Brother Joey, that you have believed repentance unto life? And not repentance unto death. Because you say, Brother Joey, if I'm a Christian, then why am I hating life? Christians are to be excited about Christ, excited about Jesus. Hey, the Bible says it's not a drudge to serve God. It is a joy to obey Him and live for Him. Oh, man, I got to do right. No, we long to do right because it's in us. Because we repented unto life, Christ. Not religion. And I want to tell you this morning, repentance unto death creates a false peace that people struggle why they don't have life inside of them. But repentance unto Christ brings eternal life inside of us, a life that we cannot get away from. And look what Paul talks about here in repentance, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. He says this, "Now I rejoice." Why, Paul? Not that you were made sorry. By the way, repentance ain't just being sorry for your sin. "But that ye sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorrow after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to," say the word with me, salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, once you repent unto life, you'll never hear a Christian say, boy, I wish I never would have gave my life to Jesus. He ruined my life. You never hear that from a Christian. Why? Look what he says. But the sorrow of the world worketh what? Death. And Paul called on it right there. He said, listen, I'm not calling you to feel bad about how you're living. I'm calling you to repent and change your mind that will result in a change of action and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the worldly repentance is you need to stop doing that bad and you need to start doing good. But Bible repentance is you need to turn from everything to Jesus Christ, and now the good is in you and you have life. Somebody say amen. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I just felt like I could just preach on this morning. We need to eat lunch here, amen. Nobody said amen. Amen. 1969. There was a movie that came out called Change of Mind. The movie was built on two men. One of the men, his body was dying. The other man, his brain or mind was dying. And so the movie begins with the doctors taking both men, laying them on the table, and they took the mind, the brain, of the man whose body was dying, and they put it into the man whose brain was dying, and they gave him a new mind. And this individual, after he healed and got out of the hospital, he went back to his old life that he was used to in his old body and old mind. And the movie is built as this man goes back to his old life. He never enjoyed one minute of it. He didn't enjoy his family. He didn't enjoy his job. He didn't enjoy his habits. Why? Because though he had the same body, he had a new mind. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we repent and change our mind, we receive, Peter says, the mind of Christ. And you can't live that old life. You can't live those old habits. You can't live those old thoughts. Why? Because you've been given a new mind. The life of Christ is inside of you. The life of Christ is controlling you now. And my friend, you may try to go back to that old life, but it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's not gratifying. Why? Because you have a new mind in Christ. And when a person repents, we got a new mind in Christ. Somebody say amen this morning. Holy to God. And you said, Brother Joy, this morning, if I am sitting in this building and I do not know Christ, if I die in my sin, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, what should I do? Number one, I got a question. Is God talking to you about your sin and showing you that the need in your life is Jesus Christ? What do you mean, Brother Joy? Here's what I mean. He's trying to convince you you need to give your life to Jesus. Now, I want to say this morning, He is calling you, and I beckon, I plead with you, say yes to Him. Don't you reject Him. You say yes to Him. Now, what about this morning, Brother Joey, if I'm a Christian? I know that I'm saved, but I know that I'm not doing right in my life. Then what do I need to do? You need to be willing to repent. And I want to tell you, sir, Bible repentance is you seeking forgiveness with God and returning to the life He has called you to live. You ever heard the phrase, you pick up where you left off? You need to go back where you got off track, and you need to get back on track and put your eyes on Jesus and let Him lead you. You took your eyes off of Him back there, you need to go back there and get Him. You need to go back to Him. Why? Because He is calling you today. And ma'am, I'm telling you today, listen to the Word of God. If you have not returned to the Lord Jesus Christ and His way of life as a believer, you have not repented. I don't care how much Bible we know, we have not repented until we have returned to Jesus Christ. If you're following me, say amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.